hunger and fasting reminds us of our need for a deeper hunger for God.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Well, I'm happy for you. I'm glad that you're with us because you're kicking off the new year right here, celebrating Jesus and his glorious work in our lives. And we're going to be kicking into our new series called Seek and Find. We're going to be talking about praying and fasting these next few weeks. And the idea is this, that we want to give God our first, that we want to be a church that is wired to want to pursue Jesus at all cost. And so as a church, we come together the first 21 days, roughly, or so the very beginning, first Sunday, we say, God, we want to give you this time. We want to give you this moment. A theme verse for us these next 3 weeks is Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. My hope for you is that you're someone in these next 21 days of prayer and fasting that you're gonna ask, that you're gonna seek, that you're gonna find, that you're gonna knock and say, God, I need you in my life and I'm expecting you to show up in my life. You know, when Jesus, he's talking about this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, he actually, he brings us groups, loads of people are together. And when he talks about praying and fasting and he talks about some heavy subjects, he's kind of inferring and understanding, trying to help people know that when it comes to having your prayers answered, when it comes to fasting, he's saying you need to be a part of God's family. He kind of gives us four different perspectives in Matthew 7. You need to be a part of God's family. If you want prayers to be answered, you need to be obedient. You need to be willing to submit. You need to be willing to say, God, I'm going to pursue you. God, it is your will that is to be done. So when we read Matthew 7 and we say, God, I need you to answer my prayers, we begin with this understanding of I need to be committed to God in my life, that Jesus is the Lord, leader, savior in my life. And because Jesus is the Lord, leader, savior in my life, then I can have a relationship with God. Then he will hear my prayers. I always found it fascinating with people who don't know Jesus as their Lord, leader, and savior. They pray and they wonder what happens when they pray. My friends, because prayer is meant for those who follow Jesus, for those who have a relationship with God. So ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. My encouragement and my hope is that you're doing those things. Unfortunately, how many of us have ever met or been in those places and we met ourselves in a real moment and it comes to this point and we think to ourselves, like, am I really asking? Am I really seeking? Am I really finding? Am I really knocking like I should be? That's why we always love when it comes to 21 days of prayer and fasting, because it's a reset. It's a chance for us to evaluate. See, sometimes we go through life when we're clicking through the days, going through the busyness. It's kind of like this. My kids, they have their own TV up in the loft area where they hang out. Parents, like adults, are kind of downstairs, and the kids' mess is upstairs. It's pretty awesome. We love it. Well, they have a remote control to the TV, right? So they turn on the remote. Well, the other day, my sons yelled out, Dad, we can't find the remote. Parents, you know where I'm going with this. Dad, we can't find the remote. And I'm yelling back. I'm not about to hike those stairs, boys. Like, if I'm hiking those stairs, someone is going to meet, you know, like, Dad ain't going to be happy. Like, Dad, we can't find the remote. Finally, after them yelling and them quote unquote searching, what's Dad do? Dad hikes the stairs, opens up throws the blanket over away, throws the pillow away, right there, laying on the ground. Guess where? Guess what is appearing? The remote. You know, I think a lot of times that's how it is in our spirituality. Hey, God, I need you to show up. God, I need you to do something for me. God, come and help me. And God's like, I just want you to take some steps and seek and be persistent and show up and knock and not give up. Knock and pursue, pursue, pursue. So when Jesus says in Matthew 7, you must ask, you must seek, you must find, you must knock, things will be presented to you. It takes this persistence that we need to be able to possess. So today I want to talk to you about a persistence when it comes to fasting, because here, a movement of God begins with obedient people who seek Him. You want to see God move in your life? You need to be someone who's willing to be obedient. You need to be someone who's willing to be persistent. Someone who's saying, God, I want to be so in tune with what you have in store for my life, and I can seek you. So today, I titled this morning's message, Fasting to Find. We're going to talk about one of the most uncomfortable subjects, because I don't know about you. Anybody like being hungry? No. If you're like, yeah, I love being hungry, I'm like, dude, come on now. Like burgers, milkshakes, we all love that stuff. But fasting gives us this reset in our lives, and we fast to seek. We fast to find. So I want to begin here. What is fasting? Fasting, if you're taking notes, fasting is abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. It's not a diet. It's not a way to fit in your jeans. It's not motivation to land a date. Fasting isn't designed to give you that great summer body. Fasting, biblical fasting, is this desire for spiritual purposes in your life. See, where there is no spiritual perspective or focus when it comes to fasting, what you're setting yourself up for is misery. You're like, hey, I'm just gonna try to fast. I'm just trying to make it through things. And you start thinking things like this: if I survive this fast, I'm treating myself to the entire fridge. Some of us think that. Who knew not eating would make you think even more about food? Or you think things like this: I fast for clarity, and by clarity, I mean how much I love cheeseburgers. And we think these things if we don't have the right spiritual understanding of fasting and the perspective of fasting. See, fasting is not about what I don't get. Fasting is about who I get to seek. See, fasting with this perspective of God, I'm going to give up something that is a rule and reign and desire in my life so I can seek you, so I can grow in you, so I can know you. Gives us a different perspective when it comes to fasting. See, fasting is a discipline designed for us to know our Creator more. Fasting is something that Jesus instructs His followers to do. In fact, we get three kind of big areas that followers are supposed to do in Matthew chapter 6. Pray, give, fast. Pray and fast are oftentimes tandem together. And if we don't know that this is a spiritual purpose, then it will become miserable. You're giving up food and you're not understanding why you're giving up food. So fasting is abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. When you fast, not if, not when you feel like it, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. They would go around town being like, look how holy now we are. Look how great we are. We have this relationship with God. And they'd let everybody know it. But fasting is designed for you and God, and so you can get closer and know God even more. Jesus continued, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So fasting is abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Secondly, there's some types of fast that I want to mention to you. In your handout, oh man, I think, Pastor Chris, if you could run those, I totally had him bring me one. We want to give everybody one of these bookmarks for these next 21 days so you can track along with our fast. Now, as a church, we're asking you to enter into a 21-day prayer and fasting beginning today, carrying all the way through the 25th. And our hope as a church is that not only do you grow personally, but as a church here in Southwest Florida, we are able to take ground where God wants us to take ground. See in people, I know people in the hospital from tragedies that I'm praying right now for, that I believe in this fasting season, God is going to show up big in their life. And I know you know people that need a spiritual, supernatural work in their life that you are going to pray over, that there needs to be broken addiction, that there needs to be marriages restored, that there needs to be minds shaped and moved into the way and the thinking of the Lord. So before everybody leaves today, on your way out, you'll receive a 21 days prayer and fasting bookmark. We have a 7-day emphasis that rolls over for the next 3 weeks. And I encourage you, put this on your nightstand. I put mine in my Bible, and then I just track along and I pray over these specific areas every day. Now, we're asking you as a church to skip one meal a day. Often people will skip lunch. Some people will skip breakfast. I would say this, a fast doesn't count if you're already skipping that meal. So you're like, hey, that's good. I'll just skip breakfast, Pastor Blake. I've already been doing it for the past 20 years. I would say that's not really pressing in to give something that's gonna maybe strike your carnal nature a little bit. So I'd say 21 days, we're asking you to skip a meal. Take that time that you would typically eat and pray. Pursue God. I know for myself, when I'll take lunch these next 21 days, I'll either go on a walk and I'll just pray outside the church office over here where our offices are. So types of fast that we see throughout Scripture, there's complete fast, where we see that there's just abstaining from food, there's just water intake. We see a partial fast, where there's certain foods like the Daniel's fast. We also see there's a soul fast. Now, I'm very loose, and I even in my notes was hesitant to put soul fast on, because if you're new to fasting, if you're new to this area, soul fast is what we would deem as what is something in your life that has some pretty big real estate in your life that you just need to give up. Maybe every night you get home and you watch 3 hours of TV, or you play a lot of video games, or you talk with your friends on the phone, or you're texting or scrolling social media. I would lean in and say that would be something that you would look to give up, a soul fast side of it. But let's not confuse. A soul fast is a very entry-level point when it comes to fasting, because fasting is separating and taking a step away from eating some kind of food. So you can't say, yeah, hey, Pastor Blake, I'm fasting. I just decided to not watch ESPN this week or watch my Bengals anymore this season. You know, like, that's not necessarily fasting. That's something that you're kind of ironing out. We would call that a soul fast. So if you're new to fasting, I would encourage you, start by giving something up that has major real estate in your life. So we give you some of these dynamics and parameters and 21 days of prayer and fasting bookmark. You can also find all the information at thebreezechurch.com, and I encourage you, dive in with us. So the remainder of our time today, I just want to talk to you about, give you three realities quickly on why we fast. First one is this: hunger and fasting reminds us of our need for a deeper hunger for God. Hunger and fasting reminds us of our deeper need for a hunger for God. Is God your number one desire in life? To know his character in life, to experience his peace and joy in your life, to celebrate Jesus in your life, to love him, to allow him to lead you and your family. Is God the number one desire in your life? So you're like, well, Pastor Blake, how do you mean, like, if by being hungry, by having some desires that I need filled, and being hungry is one of the greatest desires we can have, how does that remind me to, you know, put God as my number one desire? Well, I like to illustrate it this way. Do I have anybody who loves sweets? Any sweet fans? Okay. Salty fans. Okay, like chips out there, right? Like my wife, she's a chips and like salt. I'm like a sweets and Butterfingers, ice cream every night before bed. Like, I love it all. Like, sweet tea. Like, it's not real tea if it doesn't have, like, a lot of sugar in it. Right? Like, I love it. But here's what's humbling when it comes to things. Whenever you're fasting, it's in our house, it's kind of an open concept where our kitchen is in the center of the house. And when you have to kind of like go in and out, there's our countertop. And when you walk by the countertop, my wife, because she loves us so much, often will buy a lot of cookies every time she goes to the store. So when I walk through the house, what do I do when I'm walking through the house? I'm grabbing a cookie. So when I'm grabbing that cookie, I'm like, oh man, I shouldn't be eating that cookie. And I walk back the other way. Now, when you're fasting and you're saying, I'm going to give up something and I'm going to give up some of these areas of my life, and I walk by and you see a cookie have so much power over your life. It has a way of humbling you. Like that Oreo, I can't say no to right now. You know, like fasting, when we see it, is saying, I'm going to give up certain foods in my life because I'm not going to let them hold power over my life, hold weight in my life. I want the ultimate desire of my life to be God. And so when you fast, you are putting into perspective what actually is controlling your life, what desires lead and rule in your life. They're hunger pains. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, then Jesus was led by his spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You know, I think a lot of times when we read verse 4, we think, oh man, I only can have the word of God. No. What is saying, what Jesus is saying right there is that you need the word of God first and foremost in your life, your number one desire in your life. Is God's word, God's presence, God's peace over your life. So I believe we're shown fasting at the very first part of Jesus' ministry because he knew that if he was going to navigate the world's trials, troubles, what was to come, he had to get a solid foundation, understanding, and demonstrate that for his disciples that before you move, it's this desire to know the Heavenly Father. In Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. So you have to feed on the word to gain wisdom to navigate this world. See, fasting separates what we want and clearly shows us what we need. Is this a want? Is this a desire? Or is this something I truly need? That's why we fast. Secondly, fasting feeds the soul while starving distractions. Some of the biggest distractions are areas in life we don't even recognize. Some of the biggest distractions that we thought we never really would battle with are areas that kind of rise to the surface when we fast. I remember some time ago, a few years back when we were going through a fast and I was leading this group of people and we're talking 21 days of prayer and fasting, this couple comes up to me and they're like, hey, we're new to church, we're new to the faith, but we really want to try to fast. And I was like, that's great, that's awesome. I know this can be kind of an intimidating thing to step into and how to figure it all out. And what I didn't know is that this couple that was together, I assumed that they were married. Well, about halfway through the fast, they come up to me and say, Pastor. And I said, yeah, you know, how you doing? And they're like, man, we feel like God's telling us to get married. And I said, wait, you're not married? You know, like, what's happening? Like, yeah, every time we open our Bible It's some kind of verse about faithfulness, about purity, about sometimes, and it was funny, the guy was like, sometimes it's about like weird, like, you know, like sexual stuff. And I'm like, all right. Like, and then every time they would read their verse and they would try to pray together, every time they would pray together, and we just feel like God is trying to tell us to get married. And see, what they didn't even know before the prayer and fasting is that God wanted to work in their life. But if God's going to work in your life, he's going to bring up some distractions that you need to address in your life. That there's some things you got to work through in life so that you can feed your soul and starve the distractions. See, prayer and fasting are tandem. Fasting without prayer is just going hungry. It's seeking God. It's saying, God, I need you. God, work in my life. See, fasting brings to the surface distractions in life. How addicted am I? What kind of consumes my time in life? Are my priorities right with my family and my kids in life? Am I working on things properly in life? See, if you talk to a nutritionalist, they would say that being healthy isn't necessarily about not eating. A nutritionist would say being healthy is about stop what you're eating and replacing it with something healthy. See, I say that because this, when we are feeding our souls, we're coming in this moment, we're coming in this time and saying, God, I have some things in my life that I want to give over to you. That I'm going to fast in this time and I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek you. Bring to the surface the distractions over my life. Bring to the surface the desires that rule and reign over my life. Adam and Eve in the garden ate themselves out of a house and home because they were distracted. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Now the Lord had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he had put a man and he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food in the middle of the garden where the tree of life in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded them, you are free to eat from anything, any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Genesis 3:6, we're familiar with what happens in the story. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. My friends, we live in a day and age and culture where distractions are all around us. Distractions blend in to what can cause some severity in our life. Like, I think a lot of times we know from reading the scriptures that there is the separation, the tree in the middle of the garden, there's the separation of this tree. But I would say, okay, it's a tree. How much different could it have looked? I think a lot of times we get confused because there's some things that we're like, oh, that's not that bad. That doesn't seem like it's going to be that monumental if I make a step toward that decision. Oh, that relationship, it's not that bad. Yeah, we're engaged in some things that we shouldn't be engaged in. Oh, working and talking about people at work, oh, that's just what we do at work. See, when you fast, it has this way of bringing what's distracting you, what is off-roading your relationship with God, and bringing it to the surface. See, we see when Adam and Eve, they got distracted by this tree that they were forbidden to eat. Fasting resets us and says, God, look at my soul, look at my mind, look at who I am, and make me be on track for you. Are my weekends being productive? Am I finding rest in God? I never have understood when people say, hey, you know what, I love Jesus, but I'm so tired when the weekend comes. Pastor, I love coming to church, but I'm just tired on Sundays. I need more sleep. And I'm like, my friends, you're not finding rest in the only person that can provide rest. We studied that last week with Pastor Tim Perkins here. Fasting evaluates our schedules. Fasting helps my finances. Am I spending? What's absorbing my credit? What's absorbing my money? What's draining my bank accounts? My relationships. How am I living in those relationships? Am I handling and navigating my kids well? Am I treating my spouse well? You know, I love prayer and fasting, and I'm excited for it. But you know, one of the things that prayer and fasting does in life, it highlights some of our shortcomings, some things that distract us. It feeds our soul and starves our distractions. Fasting breaks chains and not just routines. I think so many times we want God to move and lead and work in our lives, but are we going to be people who ask, seek, knock? Like Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 7. Because when we truly, genuinely want to say, Jesus, I want to know you. God, I want to know you. God, I want your love to be a marker in my life. It starts to happen personally, behind the scenes. And that leads us to our third reality, why we fast. God rewards what is done in secret with open blessings. See, if you want a breakthrough in your life, if you need to get your marriage back on track, if you need your kids and advice parenting and helping handle situations there, if you want to restore friendships, if you want to find some hope in dark times, my friends, I would start by fasting. Victories are not won in public, but in private. Fasting is born out of this expectancy that I believe God can do it again. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 17, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father. Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God wants to reward his children. God wants to see a blessing in your life. God wants you to have an amazing life, but what God desires most is to have a relationship with you above all else. That's why he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ. Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, known for his massive gospel crusades across Africa, often fasted and prayed before major events. His fasting was a part of preparation for what he called a blood-washed Africa, a continent always riddled with wars, where millions would eventually turn to Christ under his ministry. His ministry, known as Christ for All Nations, witnessed millions of conversions, with single events drawing crowds of over 1 million people. Bonnke attributed these successes to God's power released through what? Prayer and fasting. God is more concerned about knowing you, about you living for him when no one else is watching, about having a relationship with you, about loving you, and he wants to reward you for what you're doing in private. He wants to break your family's life, generation, a cycle of poverty. He wants to bring health and healing and restoration. He wants to remove addiction. God wants to reward you. God wants to lead in your life. But it starts was saying, I'm going to give up every desire and I'm going to seek him. I'm going to give up the things of this world to first seek him. I'm going to get my priority list straight. I want to seek him. I want to get my relationships right. I want to seek him. It starts with God, and fasting brings to the surface the value and the understanding of his love, his mercies, his grace over our lives. So as we enter this fasting and prayer series in the next 21 days, I know some of you have lunch plans. You're like, man, can I go to lunch? Is the pastor going to see me at lunch? Maybe start later today, maybe tomorrow. Pray about it. Pray how God wants to lead you in this life, because maybe some of you are seeking some wisdom. You have some choices. You have some things you have to navigate, some things you need to understand, some discernment that needs to take place over your life. Maybe there's someone you need to pray for. Maybe it's your marriage you need to pray over. Be praying, like, God, right now in this fasting season, I'm giving this to you. I'm trusting you with it. And I'm going to anchor in it, and I'm going to keep all my attention on you right now. And I'm not going to be ruled, not going to be reigned by anything else in this life, but I'm going to make you my priority. See, fasting is a way we seek him. We're going to conclude our time together a little differently today. I asked the band, they're going to sing a song. And we believe this truth, House of Miracles. And I'm going to ask each and every one of us to stand at this time. As we enter this song, is there a miracle that you need God to do in your life? Maybe you're here and you don't know why God's put you in this moment or whatever, but maybe that miracle is starting a relationship with Jesus. That you're declaring him he's the Lord, leader, Savior who died on the cross for you, that gave up his life for you, shed his blood for you. My friends, that's the greatest miracle. That's the starting point for each and every one of us. Many of us, you look around, we've embraced that. But God's not done. This is his house of miracles. So I'm gonna pray, band's gonna sing, Pastor Steph's gonna give us some closing instructions here in a moment. But let's just seek him in this season of 21 days. God, right now, we just call on you. Your glory, Lord, it reigns, it's shown by the natures, by the seas, by the mountains, by the skies. God, right now, we're so privileged to know you as our Lord, our Maker, our Creator. And God, I pray for those in this place who have come in here kicking off 2025 on the right foot, right direction. Lord, may we reset and may we just focus all of our priorities. May we focus on you, your remarkable love for us. May you bring to surface in our lives that we need to give over to you, frustrations and things that grip our hearts and our minds and our souls that distract us. And God, may you give us a discipline that in our private life, we pursue you in a very personal, real way and expect to be rewarded, Lord, through blessings and favor, Lord. We just seek that in this time. God, lead this church, guide this church, and in your holy, mighty name, we all say, amen. Come on, let's worship him right now, church. Let's worship.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.